Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to go back and listen to any programs that you may have missed in the past, you can find the archives online at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com, and you can subscribe to podcasts as well and get those from iTunes or other places. Lots of ways to get Live by Every Word and all of the programming here on KPCG. In recent programs, we've been looking into the topic of God. Who is God? What is God? What is He like? What is His purpose and His goals? And we're not trying to give a personal opinion about God, but rather look at what God says in His own Word and let God's Word reveal the truth about God and look into different facets of God. And God is a creator. God is a creator. That's really His occupation. And everything that we see around us came from somewhere. Ourselves, we came from somewhere. And there are forces, of course, in nature that we can't see with our eyes, but we know they exist, like gravity. And the two thoughts that man uses to explain what we see around us, this creation that exists and functions very well, are number one, and the most popular one, unfortunately, is evolution, and the idea that the creation just sort of happened. Or number two, creation. God reveals in the Bible that He created everything, and He did it in a specific way. And so people tend to go between those two thoughts, maybe evolution, maybe creation, or somewhere in the middle. I recently saw a lecture series by several individuals that are quite intelligent and very logical in their thinking, and they come from different fields of science and so forth. And they had some good ideas and some good thoughts. They did believe in God as a creator, but then they thought that maybe things evolved from there. They just sort of, you know, God got everything going and then it evolved. So people sometimes come down in somewhere in the middle between those two ideas. But if we were to look at the Word of God and believe what the Word of God says, God reveals Himself as the Creator. We're going to look at some passages today and see what God says about it. And so if you have a Bible with you, it'd be great to get your Bible out and look at these passages or look them up later and let's just see what the Word of God says. We'll start in John 1 and verse 3 today. John 1 and verse 3. It says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That was a pretty clear statement there. God, who became the Father, made all things by the Word, who became Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 9 brings out the same point. Ephesians 3 and verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So God's Word reveals how things were created. God, who became the Father, created all things by the Word, who became Jesus Christ. That's the process of creation. And then Colossians 1 brings out another aspect of God as creator. Colossians 1 and verse 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Verse 16 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." And verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So here we see that things were created that we can't even see. And we mentioned gravity at the beginning of the program. We can't see gravity, but we know that it works. We can't see the wind, although we can see it move things. There are different forces that exist like that, and the more science dives into some of those aspects of forces and powers, more is understood about forces that are acting that we don't see or we don't notice, but they still are there. And God created those as well. All of these laws, all of these wonderful rules functioning perfectly to make sure that creation works. So there are things that we do see that God created, and there are things that we do not see. And that's true of some of the physical laws and forces, but also there is an entire spirit realm that we can't see. That's one of the reasons, I think, that it's hard sometimes for people to really believe in God or believe that God is real, because we don't see him. But at the same time, again, we don't see gravity, but we all believe in it, because we know if we were to break the laws of gravity, or try to break the laws of gravity, we would end up being harmed. You know, if we were to jump off of a building, well, the laws of gravity would be in effect and we'd land on the ground in quite a painful situation. So we don't even try those types of things. We believe it. We believe that it'll work. But it's hard to believe in God sometimes, simply because we don't see him with our eyes, not with our human eyes. And also, we see that all things here in this passage that we just read, all things consist by the power of God. Not only were they created, but they consist by him. Colossians 1 and verse 17, we just read that. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, how come the earth doesn't just spin out of orbit? How come the sun never gets so hot as to burn up life on this earth? Although sometimes in summer it feels that way, but it never gets quite that hot. How come those things continue to work? How come the creation continues to function as it should? Well, because God keeps his creation working as he designed it. God didn't just create it and walk away. He put laws in place, and he governs those laws. He makes sure that those things continue to function as they should, those laws, so that creation functions as it should. I mean, how many of us go to bed at night and we're concerned that the sun won't rise the next day? I don't think anyone's ever worried about that. Or have we ever worried that, well, the sun will just never set and it'll be bright all the time and, you know, there won't be any more night, we won't be able to sleep. You know, it's kind of silly to even think about that. We don't worry about it. But I can't control the sun or the orbiting of the earth or the stars and the planets. And neither can you, of course. We're humans. We don't have that type of power, but we don't worry about it because it just always functions correctly. How come? You know, if it was just some random evolutionary process, well, we would end up probably in some pretty difficult spaces and places, and we wouldn't be able to survive. And a lot of evolutionists will say, well, that does happen, but it takes a long period of time. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God created all things, and all things consist because he keeps them going. He keeps them functioning properly. God created all things through the Word. God, who became the Father, created all things through the Word, who became Jesus Christ. How did God create all things by the Word? How did he do that? Well, the Bible shows us. Let's look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and we'll read verses 6 through 9. It says, "By the word of the Eternal were the heavens made, in all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Eternal. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And that's what we need to do, is stand in awe of God. Verse 9 says, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Now, Mr. Armstrong explains this very well in his book, Mystery of the Ages, and that's free at thetrumpet.com. It's an essential book to get and to read. It makes the Bible come alive in a very plain way. It reveals these great mysteries of God. And so if you don't have that, please get it. It's free at thetrumpet.com. You can order it right now. Or you can read it online if you'd like to, but it's nice to get the book so you can make some notes in it. But here's what Mr. Armstrong says in Mystery of the Ages. He says, "Let me explain. In the first week in January 1914, I was sent by a national magazine to Detroit, Michigan, to interview Henry Ford to obtain material for an article on his sensational new $5-a-day wage policy. I saw Henry Ford in the administration building, wearing a business suit with a white collar and necktie. Then I looked across the breezeway into the giant factory, then the Highland Park factory, and I saw perhaps thousands of men in overalls working at machines powered with electrical energy. Mr. Ford was called the maker of the Ford car, but he made the cars by these workmen who used the power of electricity and machines. In the same manner, God the Father is creator, but he created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. It is written, he spoke and it was done. God tells Christ what to do. Jesus then speaks as the workman, and the Holy Spirit is the power that responds and does what Jesus commands. And so that gives us a really good picture of how God creates. The process that he uses, we see it to some extent, you know, in the human realm, as he explained there with Henry Ford and the way the Ford car was made. So that's the way God creates, very similar. It's really fascinating to think about that, and it's a great illustration of the way God makes things. And, you know, as humans, we do have a mind that is similar to God's, even though much more limited, but we can imagine and we can invent and we can create some things. If you look at the amazing growth in the knowledge, and again, not all of it is good knowledge, but there's been such an expansion in knowledge in the human realm, and inventions and all kinds of things. Unfortunately, it ultimately is going towards nuclear annihilation because of all the weapons people have developed. But still, mankind does have this creative mind and is able to create quite a few interesting things. And God has a much more superior mind, but it's similar. Man's mind is similar. God creates. He develops. And he makes amazing, amazing creations, far beyond what man can conceive. But God and the Word, they're creators. And before they created anything else, they created angels, the angelic realm. It's a realm we don't see. But that's what they created first. Notice this in Job 38. And we'll look at verses 4 through 7, Job 38. God's talking to Job here, and he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding." And as we read through this passage here, Job's getting some correction that he needed because he had a self-righteousness issue that God was dealing with. And so God's kind of putting Job in his place and saying, okay, you know, Job, you've done some good things. You do have some abilities, but you're thinking of yourself more highly than you should. You know, let's compare a few things here between God and Job. And so it's a great reminder for us as well. We can get a little big for our own good sometimes in our minds, and it's good to go back and read something like this here in Job and get some perspective. You know, God is incredible. He's great, and he wants us to think like him and to act like him and become like him, and ultimately to become a member of the God family. But we need a proper humility to understand how great God is. And so God's giving us some things to compare here, so it's interesting from this standpoint as well. But in Job 38, verse 4, God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding." Verse 5, "Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Verse 7 says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." See, the angels, the angelic realm, was created first because they were there observing the creation of the physical universe. Stars and sons of God here in verse 7 refers to angels. You can look at Job 1 and verse 6 and Revelation 12 verses 4 through 9 to see that. The angels are referred to as the sons of God only in the sense that God created them. There was no father-son relationship until Christ was born of his Father. And Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. You can see that in Romans 8 and verse 29. So the angels are called the sons of God here, but just in the sense that God created them. They're not sons with the potential to be born into the God family. So there's a distinction there that we need to make. But here the angels celebrated and shouted for joy when God created the physical universe and the earth. I mean, it would have been spectacular to see something like that, to say the least. And one of the reasons it's so important to consider God and what he did and what he has done and how things were all created by him and they continue to consist because of him. One of the reasons we really need to think on that more deeply is because it does put us in the right mindset to have the awe and the reverence and the respect for God that we should have. When people begin to get into evolutionary thinking, or they kind of maybe find some middle ground on it in their own minds and say, well, maybe there's a God, but things sort of evolved after he got them started or something like that. It really, not only is it inaccurate according to the word of God, it takes away the awe and the respect that we should have for God and his great power. It diminishes him in our thinking, and we do not want to do that. You know, Job needed to get his thinking right towards God. And so God said, look, okay, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I did this or that? I mean, God was revealing himself to Job as creator, a creator who made these things that were far too great for Job. And Job was a great builder, but what God did was far too great for him. And it gave Job a proper perspective of himself in relation to God. So that's why one of the reasons evolution is so dangerous is because it takes away that power that God has. It makes us think less of him or think he doesn't exist. But God reveals himself as creator, and he reveals himself in the creation. You know, if we've got eyes to see, we should be able to see that this is an amazing creation. We ourselves are an amazing creation that we do not know how to make. We don't know, how do you make a human being? Now, obviously, there's a reproductive process that we understand, but who made the reproductive process, right? If there was nothing and all of a sudden you were told, make a human or make anything for that matter, you know, make water, make grain, and you had to start with nothing, how would we do it? We wouldn't have any idea. That just gives us such a great indication of how powerful and amazing God is. So we want to have the right perspective of God as creator so that we are in awe of him like we should be and we worship him as we should. And that's what we need to understand here. And that's a reason that we look at God as creator, because it's important to keep that in mind. So God created this angelic realm before anything else. And the angels celebrated and they were excited, very excited about the physical creation. And Genesis 1:1 shows that the entire material universe and the earth were created at the same time. So you can see that in Genesis 1 and verse 1. Notice this from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course, and this is free at thetrumpet.com, and you can sign up for it. It says, Genesis 1 and verse 1 speaks of God creating the heavens and the earth. In the authorized King James Version, the word heaven, singular, is used, but the original Hebrew, as Moses wrote, and as other translations render it, is in the plural heavens, implying that the entire material universe was created simultaneously with the earth. You know, sometimes we might have a fairly productive day, and we think, oh, I got a fair bit done today. This was a productive day. The heavens and the earth being created, very productive day. But unfortunately, God's perfect creation was ruined. The universe wasn't created in the state of decay and waste that we see today. You know, you look up at the different pictures that come back from the Hubble Space Telescope and you see some amazing things, but you see a lot of ruin and decay out there as well. How did that destruction come about? You know, God did not create it that way. Well, the earth was home of at least a third of the angels. We can look at Jude 6 and see what happened to the angels. Jude 6, it says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, the earth, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. And God also created a government on the earth. You can read that in Colossians 1 and verse 16. He created thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. The Bible Correspondence Course says the Bible reveals that God placed the great archangel Lucifer on a throne on earth to administer God's government over the angels who are placed here. God's law, by which Lucifer was to rule, is a way of life. It is a way of love, outgoing concern for the welfare of others, the way of peace, harmony, helping, serving, sharing. And as long as that law and that government was followed and applied, the universe worked beautifully. But Lucifer rebelled against God's law of love. He went a different direction. Let's see what happened in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. It says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, and this is talking about Lucifer, who became Satan, because he's the king. Thus says the eternal God, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Quite a picture. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you was created. Beautiful music. God made beautiful music within this archangel. You are the anointed cherub that covers. It's covering God's throne for a time. It says, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He had all this experience, Lucifer did, in the government of God. He was in the throne room. He was a covering cherub for I don't know how long, very long time probably. And he learned God's government. He saw it function. He saw it work. And he was given a chance to implement that on this earth. Verse 15 says, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Now, iniquity doesn't sound quite as bad, but it means lawlessness. Lawlessness. Breaking the law of God. And again, this refers to Satan, the king of Tyrus. Ezekiel 28 and verse 2 mentions the prince of Tyrus, which is a human leader influenced by Satan. But here, it's talking about the king of Tyrus, which is Satan, the devil. And one-third of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion. And Lucifer, when he rebelled, became Satan, became the adversary. But a third of those angels followed him in his rebellion. And so it looks like about a third of the angels were on this earth under Lucifer's rule at that time. Notice this in Revelation 12, verses 3 through 4. Verse 3 says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of stars of heaven, again the angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Correspondence Course says the archangel Lucifer rebelled against God. Instead of continuing to administer the government of God on earth, he became a traitor. In his rebellion, one-third of all the angels followed him in his unsuccessful attempt to invade and take over God's headquarters in heaven and dethrone the very creator, God himself. Lucifer was renamed Satan, which means adversary. And the angels who followed him in this attempted coup became demons. Where did the demons and Satan come from? Well, they rebelled. That's what made them that way. God didn't create them that way, but they rebelled. They rebelled against God's law. And Lucifer became the adversary. And in this rebellion, this catastrophic rebellion, the earth and the universe was destroyed. It was destroyed from its original perfect creation. That perfect state that it was made in was destroyed when God's law was broken and God's government was no longer applied. It was rebelled against. There's a great lesson in that for us in our lives today. You know, we have a little mini universe that we are in control of. It's our life. and maybe our families or however far that extends. We have a certain amount of control over that. We have a certain amount of jurisdiction. And if we follow God's laws and God's government, we're going to have success. And if we rebel against God, we don't keep his laws, and we rebel against his government, and we don't let Christ lead us, as of course Christ follows God the Father, who is over all, if we break that governmental chain, then our lives become tohu and bohu, waste and destruction as well. Because whether it's an individual life or it's the entire universe, God's law has to be implemented for there to be success. And if it's not implemented and the law is broken, well, there's destruction that follows. Notice Genesis 1 and verse 2. Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, "And the earth became," it should read, "without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Correspondence Course says God did not create the earth in a state of confusion, topsy-turvy and chaotic. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 states God is not the author of confusion, but the devil is. God is the author of peace, of order, and of law. God would not have created the earth in disorder, chaos, and in confusion just to straighten it out. That doesn't make sense. You know, God wouldn't create it falling apart and then say, okay, let's fix it up. You know, who would do that? Even humanly, we wouldn't do something like that. You don't see home builders go out and build a house that's in a state of ruin and then say, well, who wants to buy it and fix it up? That just would never make any sense. So the earth, the universe, it was not created in this topsy-turvy, chaotic way that it became. And God, you have to keep in mind, I have to keep in mind that God is creating in our lives today. He wants to be creating in us. And if God is creating in us and we let God do that and we cooperate with him, it will not be chaotic and topsy-turvy and, you know, in ruin. It will be growing. It will be developing. God is creator. He created this universe, yes. But he was creating in us too. So we need to understand that God is creator. If people reject God as a creator, what can he do in their lives? How can he build in their lives? Well, they're left to topsy-turvy chaos. What do you see when you look in society today? Don't you see things that are topsy-turvy? It's chaotic. It's upside down. It's not what God created. And people can call things progressive if they want to, but it's topsy-turvy. It's chaotic. And there's darkness spreading. God is the creator and sustainer. And if we don't have a direct connection with him through the power of his spirit, then we are cut off from that. And we're left with a very chaotic and topsy-turvy world. Now, after the destruction described in Genesis 1 and verse 2, God set his hand to renew the earth. The universe has not been renewed yet. The universe is still in a state of decay. The more we look into space, the further out there we look, we see a lot, but it's a lot of decay. It's a lot of potential, but it's in a state of decay right now. So we do need to think about God as creator and see what he reveals about how he is creator, because it shows us how powerful God is. It shows us that God has a plan, and God is creating still. He's creating in our lives if we will cooperate with him. And so when we look at the history of creation and how it was ruined because of rebellion against God's government and against God's laws, it gives us a picture of two choices in our lives. If we reject God and his government, we know what happens. We can see it out in the universe. That's what will happen in our lives. But if we follow God's government, and if we obey his laws, and we live the give way of life, well, we can have a beautiful and a wonderful creative process happening in us. And that's certainly what God wants for each one of us. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. And again, if you'd like to go back and listen to any past programs, you can find those at thetrumpet.com or kpcg.fm. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.